Hello, everybody. I'm Radio Johnny, and you are listening to Recovery Radio on KRFP 90.3 FM in Moscow, Pullman. Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Latah and Whitman Recovery Community Centers. You can find them on the web at latahrecoverycenter.org and on Facebook. The Latah Recovery Community Center is located at 531 South Main Street in Moscow. You can contact the LRCC by phone at 208-883-1045 or by email at latahrecoverycenter@gmail.com. Their hours are 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, and they do have meetings on the weekends, and you can check the calendar for those. The Whitman Recovery Community Center is located at 226 East Main Street in Pullman, and you can contact the WRCC by phone at 509-715-1111 or by email at wrccprogrammanager@gmail.com. And their hours are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. And again, they do have some meetings that happen outside of those regular business hours. Check the calendar for that as well. Recovery Radio's purpose is to share with our community how addiction and behavioral health disorders affect us all and how we deal with them. We also share the personal stories of people in and around recovery, highlighting their experience, insight, and hope for continued recovery. Like I said earlier, I am Radio Johnny, and there's a few things coming up on the calendar that I want to share with you. First and foremost, coming up just a month away now, less than a month away, a few weeks, is the 10th Annual Recovery Festival, and it's going to happen on September 13th from 11 to 3 over in the East City Park. At 11 a.m., there'll be our welcome time, and you can browse resource and information tables hosted by some of the local nonprofits. We've had people there in the past from Chaz and from who else?
ATP, I think.
Yeah, Alternatives to Violence on the Palouse was there.
I think maybe DAC as
well. Yeah, Disability Action Center.
Yep, I'm trying to think of the other ones. Vandal, obviously Vandal Recovery.
Recovery will be there, sure.
A couple other ones that's not coming to mind, but if I think of them before we're done talking, I'll share.
Then noon, lunch and live music. Have a free lunch with us. Enjoy a delicious lunch featuring fried chicken, salads, and anniversary cake. And also there'll be live music while we eat by Solid Ghost, local band of much renown, at least in my mind. 1 p.m., they'll be doing raffle drawings, and there's free raffle tickets for everybody. And there's all sorts of really groovy prizes donated by local businesses in support of the LRC. And then at 2 p.m., we'll kick off Recovery Out Loud, where you can hear powerful recovery stories from members of our community. And so we'll have a great time there. And, of course, it's hosted by the LRCC, the Whitman Recovery Community, and Vandal Recovery. And moving on from that, also coming up, it's time to get your reservation in for our Recovery Sign month. September is Recovery Month, and it's time to reserve your yard signs in time for September. So show your support by reserving your yard sign today. Let us know if you can pick up your sign at the LRC, or we can actually hand delivering the signs to you. And these are the signs that say you're worth it, you know, don't let go.
Don't give up.
Don't give up, all that sort of cool stuff.
And
you can just call the LRC, you know, 208-883-1045, and give them your name and address, or make a time to come pick it up here at the center. And then some of the highlights of you know, recurring events that are on our calendar all the time. We have our anonymous groups where we facilitate the meeting of a number of different anonymous groups, AA, Al-Anon, NA, with men's, women's, and co-ed and family support meetings, and they're held regularly throughout the week. Several are available remotely via Zoom, And these groups are self-run and self-sustained, and we're happy to help you find the right fit for you on those. We have a game night, typically every Thursday night. Low-key game nights offer a fun way to make friends and enjoy a little friendly competition in a safe, open environment.
Yep, and that's four. It's now 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., and there's pizza that comes at four.
Yeah, pizza. Yum. Chess Club with Steve. He's our local chess guru. He loves nothing more than teaching people the game he loves on Tuesdays and Thursdays afternoon. Whether you're a complete novice or a seasoned strategist, chess is a great way to develop your critical thinking skills and make new friends as we blunder through one of the world's oldest and enduring popular games. And then this is a big one, federal and state benefits assistance. Navigating the confusing pile of forms, eligibility requirements, and deadlines for securing benefits is tricky at best, and we offer help and guidance on Friday afternoons to ensure you have access to the benefits which you are entitled. And that's a big one. I went through a process. I was injured and tried to get on Social Security disability. Man, it was a nightmare, and if I had not had an attorney, an advocacy group with an attorney working for me, it would have been bad. I still got denied, but still just the process is mind-numbing.
The lady that comes in to help with this is very knowledgeable. Right. I mean, yeah, she's just great.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. And
yeah,
today we don't have a guest. You're stuck with us. And we're just going to, you know, cover kind of general topics. I kind of wanted to just flash back. Last week we had Dr. Valerie Russo on, and we went through Brené Brown's Braving Inventory. And man, was I kind of stuck thinking about that for a few days
afterwards. That was good. Good topic.
Oh, it really was. And we talked about boundaries, reliability, accountability, vaulting, integrity, non-judgment, generosity. There were so many things I learned that I was able to incorporate into my week. And I found out that this braving is really a way to assess the trustworthiness of people around you. Mm-hmm. That seemed to be, to me, what it was really basically all about. You know, I applied some of these to some of the people I know and am around, you know, not necessarily all the time, but from time to time. And it was a really good tool. I started looking at people a little differently, especially about vaulting, because people tend to share stuff that they really probably don't have any business sharing.
Right, right.
Which is tricky because, you know, in my recovery program, we share tools, we share our experience with people so that this is what I did in this sort of situation. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of open ourselves up for that information to be spread. But in those times, like the meeting before the meeting, we call it, while we're out, we've set up the hall for the meeting and we're out drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes and just chatting, people tend to go a little too deep into stuff that maybe they shouldn't about this one or that one. And I found myself, I realized that, you know, oh my God, I've been doing that too. You know, I really need to pay attention to that, because even though, you know, somebody didn't say, hold this in confidence, that may have been their expectation.
Right.
So, you know, I got to pay attention and work on that.
Yeah,
so,
that's good.
I really enjoyed that. You seem to, you are the Brené Brown groupie.
Well, I just think she's amazing. I think she's amazing. So when I worked at the gym previously, a few years back for 9 years, I had the great ability to be able to listen to Audible. And I mean, where I did have that book, the Dare to Lead, I was able to listen to it while I was working on Audible. And I just loved, I just love how what she talked about with working with people, and just, it was a great book. It talks a lot about, you know, being in leadership, and I just really enjoyed it.
Oh, cool. Cool. Yeah, she's, I've watched some of her like TED Talk things and stuff you've sent me.
Yes, and her stuff on shame. Yeah.
Valerie actually sent us both to check out. And yeah, very cool. It's kind of a cool thing in this day and age that you can get input from like these super famous people that you know, normally you would not hear of or right. know about. So
yeah, because they're able to share all their research and information online and TED Talks and all these different kinds of things. You can Google whatever information you wanna find. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's very cool. Very cool. And you know, we were chatting a little bit before we started the show. Well, you were sharing about a person who has you've been working with for a long time and the good things that are happening with her now. And I had a conversation the other day with this fellow who just came into the program. He's been in a few weeks now, and I mean the Alcoholics Anonymous program. And it was kind of fortunate that the Monday men's meeting turned out just to be me and him, because the few other guys that are normally, you know, fixtures there, one was in California, one's hiking around the mountains of northern Washington, and another was over fishing on the west side, salmon fishing.
Because it's summertime, yeah.
So people were gone and doing stuff, and so it was just him and I. So rather than having a more formalized meeting, I said, hey, let's just talk, you know, tell me what's going on with you. It's always good for me to work with somebody new just to find out what their expectations are, because I know when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, my expectations were pretty basic and wrong at the same time. I don't know if I thought they could teach me how to be a normal, healthy, you know, user of alcohol, or if they were just going to teach me how to not drink. You know, and that's really a very myopic view of a program. But I hung around a while, and I found out that, you know, it's actually a program to teach me how to live life on life's terms, right?
Yeah.
And that there's enough work in that. And they told me I only had to change one thing, and that was everything. So they laid it out pretty plainly for me. So I was able to talk with this fellow, and he's younger than me by probably 40 years. Finding out what his expectations were was really cool, because I was able to point some things out to him, like you don't have to think of the program as you're never going to be able to drink again, because ever is a long, long time. You'll find small victories in just not drinking today or right now.
Right, because if you look at it, and correct me if I'm wrong, because if you look at it like forever, that can mm-hmm. seem a little more overwhelming. But if you stay in the moment and in the day and try to just work on that,
right,
that's more feasible in our brains to be able to move forward.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the old joke, you know, if you got 1 foot in the past and 1 foot in the future, you're peeing all over today. You know, cute little thing. But that's the reality. I mean, I don't belong in the, you know, thinking about regret, because that's living in the past. And I don't want to think that I'm all the great things that are, you know, I'll be able to achieve in my life, because that's living in the future. And I don't belong there. I belong right here, right now, doing what I'm doing. Of course, that doesn't mean that I can't make plans.
Right, exactly. You can make plans and steps and goals towards things that you're working on.
Yeah.
But it isn't, yeah, you do need to plant yourself here.
But that's a big key, what you said. Think about your life ahead of you. That's a little overwhelming.
Right. You like, know, I'm going to be sober until I die, kind of a thing. Or,
right,
yeah,
right.
That can
I'm
be a
never going to have fun again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Know? Which I shared with them. I said, you know, everything I used to do involved alcohol. I mean, if it happened at the end, if it happened from the time I woke up till the time I passed out the next time, I was drunk. So just learning how to live life without alcohol was part of it. Mm-hmm. But learning how to live life on life's term, being able to accept life as it comes at me, because that's not always easy. Mm-hmm. I needed tools to work with. And so I shared with them, you know, when we talk about the principles are all tools, the big three: honesty, openness, willingness, right? If you can be honest with other people, maybe you can finally be honest with yourself, because I was clearly dishonest with myself. To think the way that I drank was somehow okay, and being drunk 24/7, clearly not okay.
It's part of the addiction, yeah.
Right. But being sober 24/7 or just not drinking, that's not really okay either. I need to grow, and that's what the program of Alcoholics Anonymous has done for me. It's allowed me to grow and learn how to be okay with things.
Yeah.
Because sometimes just being okay is as good as it gets.
It can be, especially at times. Yeah, it's like, you know, you can stop drinking or using a substance. And for me, that meant then working on the different things in my life and the things that had hurt me from when I was younger or currently or whatever that looked like, and getting support and help in those areas as I worked through things slowly, you know, counseling and tools and all that kind of stuff. And looking back at it, it's been 11 and a half years, a little bit more than 11 and a half years. And it was definitely a process. It was a little bit at a time. But I do remember thinking when I got into recovery and started an outpatient program, like, wow, what is having fun look like again, you know?
Right.
And it did take a little bit, but I got the hang of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like go throw frisbee in the park with some friends.
Right.
It was fun.
Right. It can actually be fun. Yeah. I was sharing with you, you know, just recently I went down to California and was fortunate enough to spend some one-on-one time with my friend Dan, who's been on this program before. And, you know, we went camping in the woods and fishing. I haven't gone camping in over 40 years. I mean, basically my idea of camping anymore is like Motel 6. You know, that's really roughing it for me. But he suggested it. I just said yes. We met up. It was, you know, after an event I had to go to. And it turned out to be great. Just spending time with him, talking about everything under the sun. He's an old friend. We're fearlessly honest with each other. We know all our secrets because we were both involved in most of our secrets.
You were like, I was there for that, and I knew about that.
Yeah, I remember when I got you out of jail. Yeah, it was about 2 weeks after I got you out of jail. Yeah, I remember when you broke your toe, and I set it for you without realizing I was setting your broken toe for you. Yeah, you know, all those crazy things. And it was really refreshing. I cleared out some stuff that I needed to clear out in a not only a beautiful setting up in the woods in Northern California up by Lake Shasta, just the environment was great. The weather was perfect. It was amazing.
Those,
and the sleeping thing was perfect too, on cots with big old foam mats on them.
Nice.
It was like, this is more comfortable than my bed at home. I should sleep outside more often.
There you go. See, camping is all about if you can be comfortable.
Right, right.
Especially at our age. Especially your age.
Yeah. Oh, my. Thank you.
I'm giving him a little bit of a hard time because his birthday's coming up.
That's right. And yeah, and it's a big one.
We're both aging well, so there you go.
Yeah. The big 7-0. As a matter of fact, today is the day.
Oh, is today? For goodness sakes, Johnny.
Yes.
You didn't tell me today was your birthday?
Yeah.
All right. Everyone, happy birthday to Johnny.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. And, you know, if I'd known I was going to live this long, I probably would have taken better care of myself.
There you go.
Good enough for now. I am where I'm supposed to be, and always shall be. Hey, you know what? Why don't we take a little break and listen to some music, and we'll prattle on about some more stuff in just a couple of minutes.
Nice.
So in honor of my birthday, here's some Led Zeppelin.
There we go.
So long, it's not true. Wanted a woman, never bargained for you. Lots of people talking, few of them know. Soul of a woman was created for love.
and that was a little dazed and confused, which kind of explained my life before sobriety. Hope you enjoyed it. We're back on Recovery Radio. I'm Radio Johnny. She's Denise. And we're just kind of prattling on in general topics today. We kind of reviewed a little bit about Brené Brown in our show last week.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah,
good topics.
Talking about stuff. And you shared before the show, too, you were talking about kind of related to that. But, you know, I think it's interesting how you've applied a lot of those things in your life and the difference it's made in the way your family is together now, because
so
you've
much.
Got a lot of dynamics that have been going on over the last few years. So
yeah, I think that it's first off definitely great to see that becoming more healthy, living more healthy, and just working on my life and being self-aware of myself and adjusting as needed has really made such a big difference with my family, with my children, and with my ex-husband and different things. It's just amazing. It's so nice to see the fruit of some of these things, and I just feel so blessed about that. Also, you know, I have two adult kids, and they go through different things too, and to be able to show up well for them now being in recovery for them and for my teenagers really just makes all the difference. All the different kinds of challenges that come along now where they can be extremely hard.
Right.
I feel like sometimes I'm experiencing secondary trauma from things that they're happening in their lives. But I'm able to, first of all, be present, to listen,
right,
and to really listen, to ask questions as needed, you know, just to kind of help be respectful of them and help them process. And then have my emotions about that at a different time, you know, because it's
right.
okay to cry.
Right.
It's
right.
okay to take some time and feel those things, because in doing that, at least for myself, I noticed that processing those emotions by crying or whatever it looks like, prayer, being able to talk to a trusted friend about what's going on, really makes all the difference, because I'm not stuffing it. I'm not like, okay, I'm just this super person. I have to be able to show up well, stuff it down, fix everyone, make everything okay. Because you know what? Guess what? I'm not God. Oh, who'd have guessed? So it is so much easier to live in walking healthy through this and having good friends and some support. And then also throughout the week, I have different kinds of things that I do for my recovery that support me and give me spaces to be able to talk about those things. Because that's the thing. If I, you know, I've got a busy life. You know, I work full time. I also work part time as a crisis worker. And I've got kids and things like that. And if I didn't make these times in my schedule each week to be able to sit with a couple of trusted friends to process,
right. Guess
what? It wouldn't happen.
Yeah, it would.
It wouldn't happen.
Yeah, your brain would just be spinning out of control.
Right.
Constantly. Yeah, I experienced that too. You know, back when I was, you know, working full time in my career field, you know, it was real easy for me to. I've always been the type to take work home with me, which is really unhealthy.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can avoid it.
It really can be.
But the way my brain is wired, you know, if I feel something's been left unfinished, I got to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'll
that was a struggle
put off dealing with, you know, home life till that's done. And you know, I've discovered since, like I said, since I left that job, you know, it's like I was able to, you know, straighten up, you know, do more work on myself, and not intentionally, it just kind of happened that way. You know, doing this radio program. I started doing that a couple of years after I started working with the Recovery Center, almost just 9 months after I left the job. Mm-hmm. They opened up here, and I went, there's something I can, you know, maybe I can be helpful there. Mm-hmm. And so in time, you know, I kind of learned to give myself the okay to not be selfish, but to work on myself.
Right.
And there's a fine line there. I mean, I could spend all my time working on myself, mm-hmm. you know.
But then you wouldn't get to practice on what you were working on.
Right, exactly.
I also find that, like, volunteering and it being, like, for instance, for Restoration Night, so not only do I go, but because I volunteer, that gives me the accountability to making sure that I show up because I'm, you know, I'm co-leading a class.
Right.
So that's really good. So if I'm really busy, it's just like, okay, well, I'm busy, but I've got this commitment. Is it that I'm so busy that I can't do that this 1 week? Or do I just need to show up? And typically it's I just need to show up.
Right.
I mean, I'm allowed to miss if things are just a little too crazy.
Right.
Things have happened in the past where I'm, you know, ugly crying about right. something that happened
right.
3 weeks ago and I just couldn't go. Something happened right before and there was just a flood of emotions and I had to stay home.
Yeah.
You know, and that's okay. So it's that balance of like making your commitments and things, but also being kind to yourself when you need to, because sometimes you just need a little space to have some time.
Right, right. And if we're physically ill, we don't think twice about calling out on something, you know. But if our mental state, if we are ill of
mental
heart
health.
And mind, yeah, there's nothing wrong with, you know, just backing off from it.
Right.
You know, I was have been asked to MC the Recovery Festival, which I've done the last few years. And this year I'll just be coming back from vacation. There'll be a ton of stuff to be caught up on after being gone for a week and a half. And I just like, you know what? I can't do it this time.
You have
time
to
around.
Let me know before you say it on air. But so you're letting me know that you're not able to. Okay.
I'm letting you know. I already let Erin know. Okay. I had hoped she had maybe shared it, but I don't know how much.
Because she
you
wants
see
me to do it if
day.
You're not there, so it's important for me to know.
Oh boy!
Yeah.
Well, surprise!
Yay! You're on air.
Okay. Well, there's going to be a spicy conversation after this recording. No, I'm kidding. It goes back to Brené Brown, you know, talking about you know, not overcommitting.
Yeah.
You know, and doing what you say you're going to do, when you're going to do it, and all that sort of thing. And, you know, if you just don't know, you know, I'll probably show up at the Recovery Festival anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, to prepare to be there and, you know, just kind of lead things on.
Can you bring your equipment?
Well, actually, Sean has all that
Good.
Stuff.
Okay, cool.
From his wife's rock and roll career.
Okay, cool. We're just talking this through as we're on here. I'm trying to make, you know, make myself feel
Taking
better.
Notes. Oh my God. Yeah, I'll share with you everything that you know, the sort of things I did. So anyway, but yeah, so you know, showing up or not showing up, I mean, that's fine. And you know, there's different ways. You know, you talk about, you know, ugly crying or crying in the shower or stuff like that. When I was a kid and I would, you know, get filled with anger, you know, teenagers, you know, the testosterone is flowing hard and heavy. Your parents, you know, I was growing up where, you know, a good beating was, you know, good for the child.
Oh boy.
Just as a teenager, that was kind of no longer an option. But having to do chores or not being able to go and do something you wanted to do because of other family obligations, I would get pissed off. I'd go out in the backyard and I had an axe and this old big old round of wood and I would just beat the tar out of it until I felt better.
There you go.
You know, and I don't know if that's necessarily a super healthy way of doing it, but the only thing that suffered were the blisters on my hands and that poor chunk of wood, which I mean, suspect is still around somewhere. Right. But
I mean, a couple of years ago, we paid like, I want to say it was like $40 an hour for each of us to go break stuff at the place in Spokane. It's like the
cool.
Rage Room. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My girls loved that. Yeah, they actually had a great time, but it's expensive. So
right.
I really wish I had a round of, you know, a stump in the ground and an axe in the backyard that I could do what you just talked about, because that would be a lot less expensive.
Right, right. Your neighbors might look at you a little odd, but
that's okay. I don't care
about that. I was already the odd kid in the neighborhood, so very unique. What else was I going to prattle into? You know, one thing you were talking about, you know, you have teenagers now and you have grown children. You were in very different states of awareness. I'll put it that way. It obviously, you can't go back and re-raise your adult children, but do you notice a difference between how that went and how this is going now with these teenage girls?
Some. I will say that with my older two that are now 36 and 30, that being so young, I was 15 with when Samantha was born, and I was 21 when Christopher was born. So I think that that stuff, like the different kinds of things with struggling as a parent, was from being young and not emotionally regulated enough. Like, I had a lot of childhood wounds and different kinds of things, a little bit of trauma from stuff. And so that just winded up being like I hadn't gotten help and I was young.
Right.
Were the things with that. And with the younger ones now, I got into recovery when they were, I believe, was it 3 and 5?
Yeah, they were little.
They were super, super little. So there were still effects from having an addict mom, for sure. But like I was saying earlier, being able to show up for them now has been able to help with some of the things that they've gone through. Like the older of those two daughters that are teenagers now had some mental health issues. It took a little while. I'd say we're like 4 years in or so. And things are a lot more stable now. She's, you know, more in the middle of being a teenager. You know, she's like 16, going on 17.
Mm-hmm.
And so
going on 34.
Yeah, I mean, she's a pretty great kid. And so being able to have that time to be able to support her well, and then also change things about me. Mm-hmm. It became where there couldn't be any kind of raised voice or yelling in the house about anything. That was triggering for her from back when her dad and I would fight when she was growing up. And so guess what? No yelling in the house. Not about anything. You know, which is good, because then I was able to make that change and able to deal with things in a more healthy mm-hmm. way. So that ability to be able to show up well for my kids has actually been a really great reason, you know, out of love and care.
Right.
And being able to look at myself about it, that's been good.
So it was completely different times, different.
Yeah, they're like 20
things,
years apart.
But obviously your older children were saw you in your addiction time as well.
They were not as young.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. They were probably older, out of the house, and
not quite. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So both sets of kids did experience some of that. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you've been able to. I know you've talked about, you know, your daughter and your son and the things you've been able to do for them. Be there for them now.
Right.
Do you think it's like significantly different than 12 years ago, 15 years ago?
Oh, as far as me showing up as a parent, absolutely. When I was younger and they were growing up, I didn't. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard because they're actually 7 years apart and everything, so I won't really get into all that.
Yeah.
But when I was younger, I was just younger.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, a few years and differences. I was just always curious about that and thought I'd ask, put you on the spot.
That's totally okay. I have no problem talking with that. Talking about that.
Yeah, because my parent, my eldest sister who passed away is 14 years older than me.
And that's the difference between my son, who's now 30, and my 16-year-old. Yeah, that 14 years. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, I was the last. I was the only boy. And, you know, my parents were in the depth of their alcoholism while I was growing up. So it's kind of a reverse thing. But, so it's like the older sister is the one is, you know, I'm the reason we have rules. And the middle child is I'm here to follow the rules. And then the last one is the rules don't apply to me.
Yeah, so, and I would just lastly say one other thing, and that is that most of us, as we grew up and we were young adults, there was an event or two, or maybe more, that caused us some struggles, you know, anything from like just stress to trauma, and being able to be aware of that and work on those things is beneficial.
Yeah.
You know, because when you have kids or you get married, those things, that trash can kind of comes out, you know. And so I do wish I would have worked on those things a little sooner, you know.
Well, and, you know, if you're listening out there and you're dealing with some traumas or behavioral health and you need a little recovery from that,
Yeah.
I know a great recovery coach.
Yeah, we can get you connected with some counseling and different kinds of things. Yeah. And, you know, you can come in and talk about what kinds of things you think might support you well.
Yeah.
And we can meet every week, every couple of weeks, and we can, you know, we can touch base and see how those things are going, you know.
Right.
I try to be a good risk listener.
And it's all free.
And it's all free. So just so everyone knows, I'm a certified recovery coach here at the Latell Recovery Center, and I just took the training for, and passed the test, for being a peer support specialist, which is a coach that helps people with co-occurring and mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you can come here and we can talk about things. Like I said, good listener. I can help you find the resources that you need.
Yep.
Working on goals.
Yeah.
And just somebody to listen, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes in the beginning when people come, it's a lot of just sharing and I'm listening, maybe asking a question here and there. May or may not be working on goals right away. Sometimes people just need to process out loud and then kind of get through that and see where they are.
Yep.
Yeah.
So come on down and do
yes,
that.
Yes, please. Yep.
Speaking of come on down, it's time for me to come on down and wrap this thing up.
Sounds good. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Yeah, thank you to all of you two people out there that follow us. And Denise, thank you for sharing today. And we'll close it off with the usual. You know, if you think you have a problem with behavioral health or addiction issues, you do.
Alabama's trying to love. Before I have to hit him, I hope.